in loving memory of Marilyn. We hope that every time you see wildflowers in the church, you remember Marilyn. And today we have some special guests from Colorado. I think all of you have been introduced to Vicki and to Larry Dobb, and you will be listening more to the special ministry in which they are engaged. Do we have any other announcements? I do want to let you know that we have a card during fellowship time to be signed for George so that he knows that we remember his birthday. Please stand as you're able for the confession and forgiveness. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who forgives all our sin. His mercy endures forever. Amen. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Gracious God, have mercy on us. We confess that we have turned from you and given ourselves into the power of sin. We are truly sorry and humbly repent. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things we have done and things we have failed to do. Turn us again to you and uphold us by your Spirit so that we may live and serve you in newness of life through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin and made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit that Christ may live in your hearts through faith. Amen. Let us join together in our gathering song, Gather Us In, number 532.
Now is the darkness vanished away.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Beloved and sovereign God, through the death and resurrection of your Son, you bring us into your kingdom of justice and mercy. By your Spirit, give us your wisdom, that we may treasure the life that comes from Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
Good morning, everybody. So the first reading is from 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 5 through 12. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I should give you." And Solomon said, "You have shown great and steadfast love to your servant, my father David, because he walked before you in faithfulness, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart toward you. And you have kept for him this great and steadfast love, and have given him a son to sit on his throne today. And now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David. Although I am only a little child, I do not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of the people whom you have chosen, a great people, so numerous they cannot be numbered or counted. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, able to discern between good and evil. For who can govern this, your great people?" It pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this. God said to him, "Because you have asked this, and have not asked for yourself long life or riches, or for the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right, I now do according to your word. Indeed, I give you a wise and discerning mind. No one like you has been before you, and no one like you shall arise after you. The word of the Lord. Okay, we'll read Psalm 119, verses 129 to 136 responsibly. Your decrees are wonderful, therefore I obey them with all my heart.
Your word is open, it gives understanding to the simple.
I open my mouth and pant, because I long for your commandments.
Turn to me and be gracious to you, as you always do to those who love your name.
Order my footsteps in your word, let no iniquity have dominion over me.
Rescue me from those who oppress me, and I will keep your commandments.
Let your face shine upon your servant, and teach me your statutes. So the second reading is from Romans 8, verses 26 to 39. The Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought, but that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. We know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn within a large family. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not withhold his own Son, but gave him up for all of us, will he not with him also give us everything else? Who will bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? It is Christ Jesus, who died, yes, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. The word of the Lord.
Today's Holy Gospel comes from the book of Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus put before the crowds another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all the seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. He told them yet another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which someone found and hid. Then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and caught fish of every kind. When it was full, they drew it ashore, sat down, and put the good into baskets, but threw out the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all this? They answered, yes. And he said to them, therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like the master of a household who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old. The gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. Well, hello again. I think I've met all of you, but my name is Vicki Dobb, and I'm a fourth-generation proud Colorado native. I grew up in Weld County, which, if you know where Greeley is, that's where my hometown is. I'm a lifelong Lutheran. I belong to five churches, either LCA or ELCA, along the Front Range of Colorado. I was born in Greeley and went to Emmanuel Lutheran. I moved to Colorado Springs to teach, and so I went to First Lutheran. I met Larry, and so we moved up to the Denver area. Our first church there and where we were married was Parker, which is Joy. Our next church is Holy Love, which is in Aurora. And right now we're members of Bethany Lutheran Church, the largest church in the Rocky Mountain Synod, and it's located in Cherry Hills Village, Colorado. And without us joining that church, the ministry you're about to hear about would have never happened. I've been married to Larry for more than 30 years. Some of you talked to him, so you already know he served in the Air Force, and he was in for 20 years in the 50s, 60s, and 70s. I graduated from Luther Seminary earlier than him because I got a Christian ministry degree, not an MDiv, and I graduated the last time that they had live graduation before COVID in May of 2019 with a degree in Christian ministry. The first time they had live was just a few weeks ago in May since COVID. So I know you didn't get live. Nope. I am now the due to the grace of God, I am now the executive director of Veterans Servant Corps Project, a ministry of the Rocky Mountain Synod, of course, which your church is part of. And I am grateful to be here to worship with all of you today. You've got all kinds of handouts. So in each of your bulletins, you've got a flyer that describes our work. And Larry and I will be staying after, and we'll be happy to answer any questions that you have specifically about Veterans Servant Corps Project. Also, I've left business cards where you can get in touch with me with both my phone number and my email, if that would be useful in the future. And most importantly, one-third of our homeless people in our country are veterans. One-third. One out of three. So if you see a homeless person, there's a good chance they're a veteran. So I left this card. The VA started an initiative in May of this year to get rid of homeless veterans in our country. And this little card gives you all the information. What Larry and I do when we see a homeless person in the Denver area, we hand them one of these cards because we got a one out of three chance that it's a veteran. So that's why these things are laying around. In today's gospel, which is from Matthew, we heard the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it becomes a tree so that birds come and perch in its branches. And I did, when Pastor Ann told me with the Matthew, I went, oh yes, the mustard seed parable. I haven't got to preach on that before. How many of you have ever heard of Four Chaplains Day? Well, Larry, because he's heard this sermon before. This is a little bit different variation, but he's heard a lot of it. February 3rd every year is Four Chaplains Day. As you listen to their story of these four chaplains, I invite you to think about how these men understood the mustard seed story. First, there was Rabbi Alexander D. Good, who was commissioned into the U.S. Army Air Forces in August 1942 as a chaplain. He was 31 years old. He had already accomplished so much before World War II. He had followed in his father's footsteps and became ordained, received a PhD, married, and had a daughter. As a rabbi at the Beth Israel Synagogue in York, Pennsylvania, he often led joint services with Christian churches, offering a message of interfaith unity and cultural pluralism, and this is in the 1940s. Following studies at the Army Chaplain School at Harvard University and assignments in North Carolina and Massachusetts, Good received orders to go overseas to a base in Greenland. That's Rabbi Good. In 1914, John P. Washington was enrolled at St. Rose of Lima Catholic Elementary School. In those days, times were tough for a poor immigrant family, but John had his father's Irish grin and his mother's Irish stick-to-itiveness. He liked to play ball, any type, but he had a newspaper route to help his mother with extra money, since there were 9 mouths in the Washington household to feed. John started to take piano lessons, loved music, and sang in the church choir. When he entered 7th grade, he felt strongly about becoming a priest. And that is Reverend Washington. The 4 chaplains knew each other before they boarded the bus at Dorchester. At a U.S. Army camp in Massachusetts, a staging area for troops departing for Boston, they'd met and become friends. Once aboard the Dorchester, they bled together, ate together with the troops, and organized a variety show and conducted services attended by soldiers of their own as well as other faiths. Somehow I lost a page in my sermon. So let me tell you the names of the other two. So I told you about Good. There were 2 more of these men. Lieutenant John P. Washington was Roman Catholic, and he came from the New York area. And Lieutenant Clark V. Poling, Dutch Reformed, and he came from Pennsylvania. So on February 3, 1943, the USAT Dorchester, carrying 902 servicemen, merchant seamen, and civilian workers, was sunk in the cold Atlantic. February 1943. Through the pandemonium, according to those present, 4 Army chaplains brought hope and despair and light and darkness. And, of course, their names were Fox, Good, Washington, and Poling. And they were all from different faiths. Quickly and quietly, the 4 chaplains spread out among the soldiers. There they tried to calm the frightened, tend to the wounded, and guide the disoriented toward safety. And you thought chaplains only did church. Witnesses of that terrible night remember hearing the 4 men offer prayers for the dying and encouragement for those who would live, says Wyatt R. Fox, son of Reverend Fox. So a father and a son were on this ship. One witness, Private William B. Bender, found himself floating in oil-smeared water surrounded by debris. I could hear men praying, Bidner recalls. I could also hear the chaplains preaching courage. Their voices were the only thing that kept me going that terrible night. By this time, most of the men were topside, and the chaplains opened a storage locker and began distributing life jackets. It was then that Engineer Grady Clark witnessed an astonishing sight. When there were no more life jackets in the storage room, the chaplains removed theirs and gave them to 4 frightened young men. It was the finest thing I have seen or hoped to see this side of heaven, said John Ladd, another survivor who saw the chaplain's selfless act. As the ship went down, survivors in nearby rafts could see the 4 chaplains, arms linked and braced against the slanting deck. Their voices could also be heard offering prayers. Of the 902 men aboard the Dorchester that night, 672 died, leaving 230 survivors. When the news reached American shores, the nation was stung by the magnitude of the crisis and heroic conduct of the 4 chaplains. Valor is a gift, Carl Sandburg once said. Those having it never know for sure whether they have it until the ultimate test comes. That night, Reverend Fox, Rabbi Good, Reverend Poling, and Father Washington passed life's ultimate test. In doing so, they became an enduring example of extraordinary faith, courage, and selflessness. The Distinguished Service Cross and Purple Heart were awarded posthumously to all the families at a service on December 19, 1944, in Fort Myer, Virginia. A one-time-only posthumous special medal for heroism was authorized by Congress and awarded by President Eisenhower to those the kin, next of kin, on January 18, 1961. This special medal that will never be made again was intended to have the same weight and importance as the Medal of Honor. Of course, there is no doubt that these four chaplains knew the mustard seed parable. Clearly, over the course of their lives, each of their mustard seeds grew into the largest shrub of faith. We just heard how they shared their faith while on the Dorchester and how they lived their faith before that fateful night. Because of this faith, these four men were not afraid. Larry and I have known four other chaplains. In Southeast Asia during the early 1970s, Larry worked and worshiped with Father Zeke. Now, I did not meet Larry until he was out of the Air Force, so clearly I never met Father Zeke. But I've heard so many Father Zeke stories over the years and all the wonderful things he did for not only the Air Force and the Army, but all the citizens that were in that area that Larry was in, that I feel like I know Father Zeke as a friend. At Bethany, we served alongside both Air Force Chaplain Assistant Ronald Swanson, who died in 2016 and is now buried at Fort Logan, and Army Chaplain David Brock as members of Bethany's volunteer military team, which ultimately led us here today. And our nephew, Jordan Hendricks, is currently serving as a chaplain in the U.S. Army Corps. This week, as I prepared for this sermon, I found an example of St. Luke's living out Jesus' mustard seed parable. The LNI 4000 is a nonprofit organization dedicated to documenting the American cancer experience through the Portraits Project, raising funds for cancer research and patient support services, as well as spreading awareness for the fight against cancer through their annual cross-country bike ride. Recently, the Illinois 4000 were lucky enough to be staying at St. Luke's Lutheran Church here in Buffalo. Groups have stayed here many times in the past, I read, and they were ready to be welcomed back with open arms to this location. You guys put in a lot of work to arrange showers for them at nearby hotels and even found one with a swimming pool. The advantage of waking up early when they're making this bike ride, besides beating the heat, is that they have so much time to hang out at our stayovers and make new friends and have fun together. After we swam and got our showers, we ate a delicious homemade meal. They especially appreciated the amazing cookies and ice cream, it was reported, and then they got to relax. So there's an example of you all living out the mustard seed parable in that story. As a Lutheran Seminary graduate, I received daily devotions called God Pause. This week, the God Pause author has been focusing on the mustard seed parable. She said, "Everyone loves a good story. Stories are timeless and alive. Stories are a gift of discernment, asking us to see ourselves and our situation in the story. Jesus was using very practical theology by asking, how will you live your life? Rather than listing many arbitrary laws, he teased out what it meant to walk the God road." Let us pray. Lord, thank you for the mustard seed parable and all the parables you use to teach and reach us. Let us have ears to hear, courage to dare, and hearts to discern God's good road for each of us. All these things we pray in your name. Amen. And now I'm thinking we're going to sing a song. Am I right?
You are right.
Yep, and it's God of Grace and God of Glory, number 705.
Thank you.
Let us confess our faith together using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who is conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended to heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Confident that God receives our joys and concerns, let us offer our prayers for the Church, those in need, and all of creation.
Almighty God, we pray for the Church and all servants of the Gospel. Equip rostered and lay ministers to proclaim that nothing can separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ. Form confirmans and catechumens into disciples. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. Gracious God, we pray for the well-being of creation. Safeguard the environment, clean polluted rivers and lakes, preserve the mighty tree and the tiny mustard seed, and set advocates for sustainable practices. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. Compassionate God, we pray for the nations. Instill in all who govern the ability to discern between good and evil. Free those who are oppressed, and protect those facing danger. Promote peace across the world and in our towns and neighborhoods. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. Merciful God, we pray for all in any need. Protect those fleeing from war, shelter any who are in poverty, clothe the naked, soothe all who grieve, and heal the sick. We pray especially for those who are on our prayer chain and those we name aloud or in the quietness of our hearts. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great.
Holy God, we pray for this congregation, both those gathered today and those absent from our assembly. Grant safety to travelers and refreshment and safety for children attending summer camps or community programs. Give direction to any experiencing life transitions. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. Eternal God, we give thanks for your saints who now rest from their labors, especially those that we name aloud or in the quietness of our hearts. Inspire us by their witness to treasure the gospel and continually nourish us with your grace. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Into your hands, O God, we commend all for whom we pray. In the name of the one who reconciled all creation to himself, Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Let us share with one another a sign of that peace. We thank you for supporting the ministries of St. Luke's Lutheran Church with your tithes and your offerings.
Jesus, on earth and the places of heaven. We praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, 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 holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy God, you alone are holy. You alone are God. The universe declares your praise beyond the stars, beneath the sea, within each cell, with every breath. We praise you, O God. Generations bless your faithfulness through the water, by night and day, across the wilderness, out of exile, into the future. We bless you, O God. We give you thanks for your dear Son at the heart of human life, near to those who suffer, beside the sinner, among the poor, with us now. We thank you, O God. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me."
Thank you.